This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. When a pedestrian is hit by a car and killed, typically we hear that being called a traffic accident. But is it an accident, really? Data shows us that the majority of fatal auto-pedestrian collisions are preventable, and some cities are doing a better job at preventing those collisions and protecting their citizens. San Antonio is not one of the cities. We rank 18th as a dangerous town to walk in. So do you feel that walking or running in San Antonio is a risky endeavor? Is that one reason why you don't lace up the sneakers and stomp out some miles? Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. And you can email us at thesource@tpr.org or write directly on our show page on our website at tpr.org. And with us to talk about unsafe streets and pedestrian deaths and how we can avoid those, Stephanie Seskin. She is the Deputy Director of the Multimodal Transportation Expert at the National Complete Streets Coalition. Welcome to The Source, Stephanie.
Hi, thank you very much for having me.
And also with us, Jessica Kelman is Associate Director of Outreach at AARP Texas State Office in Austin. So, Jessica, you there?
Yes, I am.
All right, welcome to The Source. So, Stephanie, let me ask you, how are auto-ped deaths avoidable? How can we prevent them?
Well, the main thing that we can do is redesign our streets where we expect people to be walking and make sure that the things that we do, sidewalks, good crossings, frequent crossings, make sure that we're really keeping everyone safe in those communities.
So it's about the design of the streets.
Right. That is the biggest factor in keeping people safe, is designing our streets so that they are safe for everyone.
So, Jessica Lehman over at the AARP, are we really seeing a renaissance of walking? Or we have a lot of people out there who want to walk, who just don't feel like they can?
We do, or we are seeing that. We're seeing more and more Americans, not just older Americans in the constituency that I work with, but more and more Americans across the age spectrum are wanting to walk and bike more than ever.
And they are they holding back? Are they afraid to get out on the streets?
They are. There's a huge lack of comfortability in many communities, particularly in Texas, about walking and riding their bikes. You know, folks want to be safe. They want to be secure when they do that. You know, they don't want to walk right next to a vehicle traveling 50 miles per hour. And so they either, you know, remain in their homes and they don't go anywhere if they're dependent on a vehicle that they don't have access to, or they drive everywhere.
And drive everywhere, that tends to be what a lot of people do here. So we did get an email already. And our phone lines are open if you want to join the conversation. The number is 614-8980. This email from Danny. SA roads are in bad shape and dangerous. The solution, SA is currently undergoing a budget review to fix a budget shortfall. The budget office should balance the budget without a 2014 tax increase that increased property taxes by 2 cents. And that money would go for road and sidewalk improvements annually. So he's talking about, we got a budget for this. This takes money. This is not just about wishful thinking and happy thoughts. So, Stephanie, are cities putting money into this, into complete streets, so that we can see safer pedestrian activity?
Yeah, and the thing that is key to successful complete streets implementation, making sure that our streets are safe, is that not necessarily going out and retrofitting every single street immediately, but it's looking at what we are investing in and looking at that list of projects that we have on our plates and saying, are these the best projects for our communities? Can we make small changes here and there to make them better for people who are walking? And frankly, sidewalks are pretty cheap comparatively when you're comparing them to large roads that you're building through communities.
And Jessica, the numbers are staggering that I've seen and being reported about how many people are losing their lives while walking. Can you talk about that? Because it seems to really to be underreported in the general media.
Yeah, so in Texas, since 2003, 4,192 pedestrians have been killed. You know, in San Antonio, that number is 373. And it disproportionately affects older adults and children. For example, in Texas, older adults make up 10% of the population, but they account for almost 15% of the pedestrian fatalities in that time period. So this is definitely something that we need to look at. And these are, you know, considered accidents, that you, as you said, but really many of these deaths could be prevented through better design.
Our phone lines are open. If you want to join the conversation, give us a call. The number is 614-8980. Let's get Paul on the line. Paul, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I was going to say that the city of San Antonio has developed the green belts out by 1604 and Ingram and throughout in the Grissom area. And these don't have the marketing, I believe, that people need to know about. Because these are wonderful places. As a runner, I've run all over from north of the city through south. And we look to developing more of those. And I think that that's something that we should encourage people to go and utilize, because they're well lit, you know. And it's a good opportunity for people to get out there and exercise.
All right, Paul.
Better attention.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks for calling and bringing that up. But so, I mean, we do have some areas, Stephanie and Jessica, where people can go and walk and run, and these are designated areas. But you are looking at something different, not something like it's part of the community. It becomes a lifestyle, right? So rather than getting in my car and going to the grocery store, I might just take a stroll or bike over there and take care of my business that way. Stephanie?
Yeah, exactly. Certainly trails and greenways have a big role to play in getting people outside and active. But we're thinking about those folks who need to move around without a car, who don't have a choice. We're also thinking about people who, you know, would maybe prefer not to drive to the park. They'd like to walk there or ride their bike there. And it's really important for our streets, which connect our homes and our shops and our jobs and our schools, to be safe for everyone.
All right, so we're talking about making streets safer for walking in San Antonio and other cities across the country. There is a movement afoot to try to make that happen. But if people don't know what to ask for, citizens don't know what's out there, what's available to them, then they don't know to ask for it when it comes time to talk to their city council member. So we're going to talk about that when we come back from the break. What are some specific things that people should be looking for and should be asking for in order to make their communities more walkable? And give us a call if you got some ideas, suggestions, some complaints. The number is 210-614-8980. This is The Source on KSTX. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Coming up in the next half hour, we're going to be talking about the Tea Party. Is the Tea Party dead? But right now we're talking about walking in streets, in the streets of San Antonio, and wanting to be safe while you do it. We did get some Facebook responses earlier. Andrew said, it all depends on the location. I feel extremely safe in the downtown area and areas surrounding the bike paths, but in other places, I do not feel safe on the sidewalks. James said, yesterday, I ran along Hillcrest between Babcock and Bandera Road. Here, one has to stay off of Hillcrest. It's a busy street, yet there are blocks at a time where there is no sidewalk and only a rather uneven surface on which one can walk or run. Heaven help anyone in a wheelchair or parents with young children in strollers. So those are things that people have to consider. Let's go over to the phones because we got a lot of callers who want to jump in on the conversation. Michael has called in. Michael, welcome to The Source. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hello. I was calling because last Thursday at 3 o'clock, just about this time, I got off the bus in my neighborhood, and as I was crossing the street, a driver pulled out and turned and crossed in front of the bus, and which you're not supposed to do, completely illegal, and missed me by about 2 inches. Had he hit me, there would have been tens and tens of thousands of hospital bills for me to fix whatever was broken, if they could fix it, and his insurance only covers $10,000. Anybody who walks is taking their life into their own hands, and this happened in a school zone. Please don't say send your children walking unless if you really, really teach them how to really be on the alert 100% of the time. Please don't walk unless you absolutely have to, and then be completely alert because people are just totally irresponsible. I'll take any comments off the air. Thank you.
All right, Michael, thank you for that call. So Jessica Lehman from the AARP, you say that the numbers of the people who get hit by cars, it skews much older. And so it's obviously because when you've got this huge vehicle, they hit you, it does damage to an individual.
Yes. I mean, older and younger, you know, and these are populations that are, you know, for older adults, you know, when we're talking about 65 and older, some are a bit more frail, so they are more susceptible to serious injury. But, I mean, anybody who gets hit by a car, it is going to be incredibly lead to an incredible amount of physical harm. And so, you know, the caller is right. You have to be vigilant. But if streets are designed to accommodate all users, then obviously we all still need to be vigilant. But it can, you know, you can design streets in a way where everyone can see and feel safe in that environment. And you're not, you know, taking your life in your hands every time you walk to school, to the grocery store, to your neighbor's house.
So, Stephanie Seskin, let me ask you about that because you're with the National Complete Streets Coalition. What needs to happen? What amenities have to be put in place to create a complete street so that people can walk around and use them, wheelchairs, strollers, everybody, and get where they want to go without putting their lives in their hands?
Sure. Well, it really depends on the context. So in a more downtown area, you'd probably have slightly different designs than you would in a more suburban area, and definitely different in a more rural area. But I'd say general practice, for this example, especially when you have transit stops, you want to make sure that they are connected by sidewalks that are accessible for people who have to use wheelchairs or who are pushing a stroller. Every time that there's a transit stop, you should have a good crosswalk that's close by. You can install medians and refuge islands in the middle of the streets, and that really helps reduce crashes, not just for people who are walking, but for people who are driving. Really, it comes down to frequent crossings that are safe and pretty short to get across those lanes of traffic, and slowing down traffic. When cars are going 45, 50 miles an hour and they hit a person, that person is most likely going to die. If the driver is only going 30 miles or 20 miles an hour, even better, especially in places where you are walking with your kids or there are high volumes of people who are walking, you're much less likely to die.
Yeah, but Stephanie, that's exactly what drivers don't want to hear. They want to be able to drive fast. They want to get where they're going. And if you're it's a move or die if you get in front of them.
Yeah, I mean, it's balancing the needs that we have and what we want our communities to be. I think we would agree that around parks and schools and places where people are going to be walking and where we want our kids to feel comfortable and safe, it's worth slowing down a little bit to make sure that we're not taking lives and that any of these sorts of mistakes that we might make glancing down at the radio or a child running out in the street after a ball or whatever doesn't end up being a death.
Okay, let's go back to the phone lines. Rolando has called in. Rolando, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I have a comment and I guess a question as well, and it has to do with city planning and city development. Why is it that there is no not that many sidewalks in the city, considering that the distances to walk are so vast, especially as you go further and further away from downtown? So I'll take my answer off the air.
Okay, Rolando. So I know you, Stephanie and Jessica, you can't address San Antonio specifically, but I guess in general, I guess when there was a huge building boom in, say, like the 60s and 70s, 80s, and a lot of areas, they relaxed some of the rules for developers, so we didn't see the sidewalks and things. Is that right, Jessica?
Yes, I mean, as folks started moving, you know, out of the city and living more in the suburbs, you know, neighborhoods became less connected. Transportation networks, became less connected, with the exception of the interstate system. And so you do have cities that are sprawled out very far. And there was a developers didn't have to put in the sidewalks.
It was the style of development at the time where there wasn't a consideration for a pedestrian. It was all about car traffic.
Exactly. It was completely designed around the assumption that people would drive where they needed to go.
And times have changed.
Yes.
All right. So back to the phone lines. Julia. Let's get her on the air. Julia, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for having me. I just have a quick comment. I just recently moved here from Maine. And in Maine, we have a very pedestrian-friendly way of doing things. If you do not stop when someone's in the crosswalk, you will get a ticket. And it goes up every time you get caught not allowing a pedestrian to cross the street. I think that that's probably a great thing to enforce down here, to definitely encourage a pedestrian-friendly environment, because there's definitely not one down here. I mean, my family and I will be downtown and try to go to the friendly spot, and it's sometimes impossible to cross Alamo Street. Or we'll try to go to Taco Haven, and it's impossible to cross that street. And, you know, those are streets where the speed limit's 30, 35 miles an hour, and people just don't stop. It doesn't matter if we have kids or our bikes or our animals. And I've seen it numerous times, and there have been numerous times when I stop for pedestrians just because that's the way I'm used to thinking. And I get honked at, or people zoom past me and almost hit the pedestrian that I stopped for. So I think maybe creating some kind of law or something that penalizes people if they don't stop.
I think that law is there. It's just not enforced, except for the crosswalk that connects City Hall with the City Council chambers. That one is very strictly enforced. But Jessica, Julia, thank you so much for your call. Those were great comments. So, Stephanie, let me ask you. She brings up a really great point about protecting the pedestrian with greater enforcement and maybe even new laws. Or I wonder if when you do have auto-pedestrian accidents, if the drivers are held to a standard where they should, you know, they are the ones who need to be responsible, need to be looking out for pedestrians. Or do they usually, it's like, well, it was an accident, nothing you could have done about it?
Enforcement definitely plays a role. I think there is a culture around traffic crashes where we call them accidents, and certainly is a tragedy for the family who have lost the person. But it's definitely something that a person driving has to live with the rest of their life as well. And so there are enforcement tools as well as lots of design tools that we can implement to make sure that we minimize the number of those crashes and the severity of them. I don't know all of the laws in Texas very well, so I won't comment on what you have on the books already, but certainly, you know, stepping up and letting people know that when they break the law, there will be consequences is a part of that toolkit.
All right, so let's get another caller on the air. Larry. Larry, welcome to The Source.
Yes, I've been listening, and everybody's right, but also at the same time, the pedestrians have to remember the road was built for the vehicles. They can't just jaywalk. Like, I drive down South Flores toward Military Drive from downtown, and there's people walking zigzag to cross the road and not even care, not even looking or anything. And the bicycles do the same thing. They got a bike lane, but yet they'll get into the where the vehicles are supposed to drive, and they can't go 35, 30 miles an hour on that bike, but they're holding up traffic. But the chief of police said, watch out for the bikes. Well, I think the people on the bikes should have laws that they got to abide by, too. You know, I mean.
Sure, Larry. I got you.
When I cross the street, I look out for vehicles. I'm old school.
Okay, Larry, appreciate you calling in. Thanks for your old school point of view. Appreciate that. So, Jessica, old school, you know, there are laws for bikes. They'd have to follow the traffic laws.
Yes.
I guess, and people, what about pedestrians? And you're not supposed to jaywalk. You're supposed to cross in crosswalks.
Yes, the problem and what we see is there's not oftentimes when folks, and not every time, and we do all need to follow the rules and look out for each other. But I will say, you know, when you see folks jaywalking, that's usually an indication that there should probably be a crosswalk there because there isn't one nearby. I mean, the average person is going to cross where it is safest. And in some situations, there isn't a safe place to do that. And so they risk their lives because they have to get to the other side at some point because, you know, they don't have access to a vehicle or for whatever reason have chosen, you know, not to maintain one or to own one. And so they have to get to work. They have to get to where they're going. And so usually that's a good indication of bad design right there is when folks
sure.
Repeatedly jaywalking in an area.
So, Stephanie, what do people needs to be there? I mean, we've got to have good lighting. What are some other things that have to be in place?
Well, it's kind of the same things always, right? It's having frequent, good crosswalks, shortening that distance that people have to walk across those travel lanes, using median islands, pedestrian refuge islands.
I mean, but even just sidewalks. Sometimes you don't even have sidewalks, you know. And
you
need to take that to your city councilman and say, where are my sidewalks?
Yeah, that's definitely the first place to start.
And crossing lights and all these things. Those things exist, and people, you know, if they don't know they're not, they need to go ask for them. That's what that representation is all about. I want to thank both our guests. We have Jessica Lehman. She's Associate State Director of Outreach at AARP Texas State Office in Austin, and Stephanie Seskin with the National Complete Streets Coalition. And thank you for joining us on The Source.
Thank you.